Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Thanks for listening to the Legacy Church Podcast. We hope that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life. Follow us on social media at Legacy Church GA or visit lcga.info to learn more.
Now, how many of you in the room today would describe yourself as a DIYer? Just raise your hand. Throw it up right where you are. Don't be ashamed, okay? Don't be ashamed. Have confidence in yourself. You're a DIYer. You like to fix things yourself. You look up the YouTube on how to fix that leak or change the shower faucet. And you scoff at the idea of getting a professional to do the job, and that's you. Now, others of you in the room, okay, who are more sensible, you're not a DIYer, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you're like me. I'm not a DIYer. You know, I see the end result of trying to fix something, and I see the disaster and the stress that would bring on to my life and my family. And me being a loving, compassionate husband and father knows that the best thing is to call someone who knows what they're doing, right? So a couple years ago, beginning of COVID, maybe like many of you, Megan and I were living in Illinois at the time, and as COVID was kind of in full swing that summer of 2020, we decided that we were going to make some renovations in our house. And now these were minor renovations, and I stress the word minor because we renovated a couple of bathrooms in our home that desperately needed paint and new fixtures because it was like straight out of the 70s, and which is kind of cool because there's a retro aspect, but Megan didn't see that. So we did the paint and we did the fixtures and we did new countertops. And the countertops I had a friend install because that was kind of above my expertise. Okay, but home renovations, they say, are up the last even 3 years. They skyrocketed. You know, Home Depot, Lowe's, and others, you know, they report record sales because people are renovating their home as they're working from home and during the pandemic. And I recently came across some renovations in a BuzzFeed article that did not go so well. Okay, these are called home renovation fails. And here's the first one here, which is, you know, it's always a good idea to make sure you have more than enough paint rather than not enough, okay? So this person obviously had to make an unexpected trip. And then there's this one, the classic mismeasurement of a door. I know, it's right, you feel bad for this person. I actually did this with a shower door, okay, mismeasured a shower door. So I can't criticize this too much. And then this is my favorite. This person forgot about removing the ladder and thinking a few steps ahead, and obviously the ladder got caught, along with them being caught in a tough spot. Now, despite these home renovation fails, it does feel good when you complete the project, doesn't it? You renovate an area of your house and the freshness of the room hits, and it just feels like there's been a total transformation, and it's amazing to see the change with just a few small things. The reality is that renovations can be transformative. They can totally take a room in our life, our house, and with a complete makeover, with just a few simple things, look totally different. And renovations in our bathroom or a bedroom or a section of our house is one thing, but What about when it comes to renovations in our life? What about when it comes to areas of our life that we desperately want to see change or renovation? I want to ask you a question this morning. What area of your life do you want to see renovation in? What area of your life do you feel stuck? What area do you want to see change or progress, but you have been frustrated at the lack of progress, and it just doesn't seem like there will ever be change? You know, I think sometimes if we don't experience change over a long period of time, we become pessimistic. And, right, we start to say to ourselves, well, you know, it's just never going to change. It's always going to be this way. Whether it's my faith or my relationships or my finances, we think, well, this is just the way it's going to be. And I've just got to, what, deal with it. Because we're never going to see change. But I want to tell you right now, today, that you can experience change. The truth is that God wants to renovate every area of your life. He wants to renovate every area of your life. And He wants to do that to transform you into a brand new person. That God is not content with just leaving you the way things are, but He wants you to become a totally brand new person. And He wants to renovate the different areas of your life. And over the course of this series, over the next 7 weeks, called Renovate, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about. And I want to encourage you right now. I know my voice sounds horrible. I'm going to throw in a Ricola. Isn't that funny? I do, yeah. I do, thank you. I've been struggling with some reflux and trying to get rid of it, so thank you for your patience. But God wants to renovate the areas of our life. And He's not content with just letting us stay the way that we are. It reminds me of what Max Lucado says, that God loves you just the way that you are, but He doesn't want you to stay that way. He doesn't want you to stay that way. So, we're talking today about what is faith? What is faith? Pretty big question, right? How would you answer it? In fact, I want you to turn to your neighbor right now and just share with one word, how would you describe faith? Go ahead and share with them right now. Thank you. So the definition of faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. We can have faith in other people. You know, I have complete trust, for example, in my wife, Megan. You could probably say the same thing about someone close to you, a friend or family member. That's what makes the relationship strong and intimate. Hopefully when you go to the doctor, you have faith in them. Otherwise, you won't feel good about the decisions that they make. Okay. Now, sometimes we have a lack of faith in someone or something. When I play golf, for example, I have a complete lack of faith that I can hit the ball straight. Okay. I like to say that I enjoy getting a close-up look at the whole course, you know, mostly the woods. Usually when we have a lack of faith in someone or something, it's because we don't trust who they are or what they say. But what about when it comes to our spiritual life? You know, if we're honest, sometimes it feels like our faith can be stagnant or not what we want it to be. But what does it look like to have a faith that works? And what I mean by a faith that works is a faith that passes the test. A faith that carries us through challenging circumstances. A faith that is strong and, encourages others. What does it mean to have that kind of faith? Because I think if we're honest, that we want a kind of faith that makes a difference in our life. That's the kind of faith I'm talking about. A faith that goes beyond just a casual acknowledgement of God's existence, but I would be willing to bet that many of us in the room even, we want to have the kind of faith that impacts our life beyond just an acknowledgement of God's existence or even His presence in our life. What does it mean to have the kind of faith that works, that makes a difference? Well, Matthew, the gospel writer and eyewitness of Jesus, records an encounter that Jesus has with this man who is praised for his faith. It's found in Matthew chapter 8. It's going to be on the screen, or you can turn with me in your Bible app. It says this: when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly." So this man comes to Jesus, and this man is actually a highly respected military officer, a Gentile, and he comes to Jesus and he tells him about his servant. And most commentators think this is a young person who has this terrible condition, is paralyzed. And in this culture, there is no cure. I mean, it's basically a hopeless situation for this young person. And the centurion comes and he tells Jesus about his condition. And he's asking him for help. And the kind of help that Jesus is, that he's asking Jesus for, is beyond any sort of normal help. He's asking for a miracle. And that is the first thing I want us to see about a faith that works. A faith that works is a faith that is tested. It's a faith that's tested. Adrian Rogers, a pastor, said that a faith that hasn't been tested can't be trusted. It can't be trusted. I'm going to go away from my notes. Have you ever considered that your point of weakness might be the point at which God is testing your faith? Your point of weakness might be the point at which God is testing your faith, that actually your point of weakness might be a source of strength. See, culture says, well, your point of weakness, you got to like fix that, right? You got to do something about that. Researchers at the University of Oslo in Norway have a program. The nerds in the room will like this, science nerds. They have a program that studies why some materials actually get stronger under pressure. And when it comes to concrete, they said that concrete actually gets stronger under pressure. Because concrete, you know, it looks compact, but it actually has a lot of holes in it. And they discovered that as concrete gets cracks, that the pressure actually spreads. That the pressure is actually spread throughout the concrete because of all the holes. And one researcher said that the reason concrete is so strong is because it's so weak. So what is your point of weakness that God might be using for strength? James 1, 2 through 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." See, a faith that is tested is a faith that's worth having. Because how cruel would it be for God to never test you? I mean, think about it. If your faith is never tested, how cruel and superficial would that be of God? To make us think that it's just easy. So the conversation with Jesus and the centurion continues. Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" Kind of an odd question. Jesus is sort of asking, you know, do you really want me to come and heal him? I mean, don't you remember that you're a Gentile, I'm a Jewish man? Like, we don't associate with one another, but that's the request that this man is making. And Jesus sort of dismisses him, which is interesting. Now, what I learned about this week is that Jesus sort of almost dismisses him, but then the centurion comes back and sort of this back and forth boldness. And that's what it is about a faith that works. It's a faith that is bold. So I want to ask you, what is the thing that you are reluctant to ask God to do or you don't believe he can do? Come on, we got to be honest here. I'm not saying to shout it out right now, but what is the thing that God, you don't believe God can do, that you're reluctant to ask him, that you don't want to bother him for, that you've asked him before and it didn't really pan out the way that you thought it would pan out, and you're like, okay, God, you know, I asked a few years ago and I don't want to come back with this request again, you know, and I know it didn't turn out the way that I wanted it to, but what is the thing that you're asking God for that you're reluctant to ask him for? The restoration of your marriage or a relationship that has been soured or broken, to provide for you in a supernatural way where you're not sure how you're going to pay for this or that or what's coming up, or, you know, you're not sure if that can ever be restored. What is the thing that you doubt God can do? What is the thing that you become pessimistic over in your life that you know, God could do this? Like, he could, maybe possibly, but I don't want to press into him. I don't want to be bold. I don't want to make this request again because I've been disappointed or discouraged. Or that person that you really want God to sort of reveal himself to and for them to come to know God in a real way, that person that you've been praying for years, or that child that you're so worried about that you're asking God to sort of, you know, show up in their life, like, that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. And the reality is that Jesus welcomes these sort of bold requests. Like, he can take it. Jesus doesn't send the centurion away and go, are you kidding me? Like, you know, how stupid of you to come and ask me that? I mean, can you believe that? I mean, hey, guys, this guy came in and asked me, like, can you, you know, just heal this servant? And what a ridiculous request. Jesus listens and responds to bold requests. Look at verse 8. The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." Just say the word. Oh, to have a faith like that. See, we want to set up the circumstances in our life often to where it's, we want to, like, put it on a tee for God. But this is the kind of thing that the centurion comes and he makes this request. It's crazy. It's a bold request. What would it look like in your life where you just said, just say the word? Just say the word. A faith that works is a faith that trusts Jesus. That's really what it comes down to, a faith that trusts Jesus. And there's two aspects of trusting. It's trusting who he is and trusting that he will do what he says he can do. Because here's the thing I think about, you know, If you're a Christ follower in the room today, I think most of us would, we kind of trust Jesus on the big picture things like salvation and, you know, even we trust in his death and resurrection, which is the centerpiece of the Christian faith. But when it comes to our daily life, oh, no, that's our area. We might even trust in who he is, but not what he says he can do. But those two things are connected. That we cannot have a sort of a big picture trust in Jesus, but when it comes to the daily details of our life, we don't trust him in those because you can't do that. That's not how it works. Simple trust in who Jesus is and what he says he can do. So do you have that kind of faith? I love N.T. Wright's definition of faith. He says, faith in Christian terms means believing precisely that the living God has entrusted his authority to Jesus himself, who is now exercising it for the salvation of the world. Do you believe that Jesus has the authority to do what he says he can do? That thing I mentioned earlier where you're reluctant to ask God for that restoration of that marriage or relationship, that provision in a supernatural way, that healing, whatever is broken in your life, that you've been discouraged or disappointed or you've asked God or you've sort of given up on that, that's the thing that Jesus is asking you to trust in his authority to heal, to provide, to restore. Look what Jesus' response is. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." I mean, listen, this is the only time that Matthew records Jesus as the subject of amazement. All the other times, it's, you know, other people are amazed at Jesus. But in this instance, Matthew records Jesus being amazed. I mean, come on now. It's a pretty good day if you impress Jesus. Like, he rose from the dead. Okay? I don't think any of us have done that, right? Have you done that? Have anyone DIY or did your own resurrection? No. Okay. Jesus was amazed. He says, "I say to you, many will come from the east and the west and will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, this gets kind of, you know, scary maybe, but Jesus is describing what a faith in the kingdom looks like. Just say the word. That's the kind of faith he's describing. He says this man had greater faith than anyone in Israel, anyone else. How do we have this kind of faith? Now, our temptation is to, like, you know, in our self-sufficiency, sort of like, you know, rally ourselves to do more for God. And the great sort of, I don't know, paradox, or no, it's not a paradox. It's a contradiction almost, because to have this kind of faith actually, the only requirement of us is the trust we're talking about. That's it. That's it. The trust that we're talking about. Romans 5, Paul says that, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. The faith that God asks of us is a faith to trust in Jesus and who he says he is and what he says he will do. This is the kind of faith that God asked from us. And the thing about it is to have this kind of faith is nothing of our own work. That faith in Jesus is entirely based on what He is doing, what He has done and is doing and will do. One of my favorite authors, Brendan Manning, said it like this: my deepest awareness of myself is that I am deeply loved by Jesus Christ and have done nothing to earn it or deserve it. We got a lot of people in the church that want to work to earn their salvation. We want to do a lot of things for God, right? God does not love us any more on our best day or any less on our worst. Some of you are in crisis in your faith, and I want to encourage you to go to Jesus. If your faith is in crisis, go to Jesus. If your faith is stagnant and in need of change, go to Jesus. If your faith is not just working for you, if it doesn't feel like it makes any difference in your life, go to Jesus. You see, because our faith rests not on an idea or a belief, but on a person. And that person is Jesus. I came across this story from an author, Hannah Hernard. She wrote a book called Hinds Feet on High Places. It's a fictional story about a character named Much Afraid who journeys through difficult places with her two companions, sorrow and suffering. And it's about this journey through challenges in life to the high places. And the high places in the story are symbolic for life with God, of love and joy and victory. And she passes through many dangers on her way to the high places where she's transformed by the loving shepherd. You get who the loving shepherd is, God. And Hernard wrote this book while she was in the Swiss Alps, which is kind of like a good place to write a book. I mean, I could probably write a book if I was there. But she recalls this one day's experience where she noticed this system of chairlifts that were, you know, hanging from cables. And back in the 40s, she wrote this book in the late 40s. It was just like a garden chair dangling, she said, in the air. Two garden chairs side by side and, you know, hanging from a system of cables that were carrying people and supplies from the bottom of the mountain to the top where there was a house on the top of the mountain. No walled-in chairlift, no, you know, no protection, no bars that are coming down over the top of you, over your head and chest. Just two chairs swinging, dangling. I mean, some of you that are scared of heights are kind of getting anxious right now listening to this, but no protection whatsoever. And she says this of the chairlifts that she saw that day, called the Sesselbahn. She says, it seems to me that the Sesselbahn was one of the loveliest and most fascinating pictures of faith imaginable. For faith has nothing to do with intellectual belief. Faith is obedience. Faith and abandonment to God's will and power are inseparable. She says faith is like sitting in that chair, completely trusting in God. She goes on, one had only to be willing to trust the invisible power, sit down on a chair and abandon oneself completely. No self-effort was possible. Then one would be lifted up towards the heights. It was all a matter of faith and no works except for the initial work of choosing to abandon oneself. See, I think life feels a lot like riding in a rickety old chairlift. Just dangling in the air, and we want to we're tempted to like look down and survey the bottom, right? Like what's going to happen if I tumble out of this chair? What's below me? What's the danger? And that's what going through life is like. It's like we're riding in a rickety old garden chair. You know, back then there was no such thing as like safety regulations, okay? Safety regulations were basically like, if you died, that was unsafe, okay? But life is a lot like that. And faith is just sort of sitting in the chair and learning to sit in the chair in complete trust in Jesus. We're tempted to look down, aren't we? We're tempted to survey the danger, like, oh man, look down, look what could happen. This relationship could go wrong, this job could go wrong, this family situation could go wrong, and all the while we were tempted to just kind of get out of the chair, right, and just remove ourselves, and we almost have to be restrained. Faith is sort of showing a restraint to just remain in the chair, because it's only by remaining in the chair that we are carried to the heights. It's only by remaining in the chair, by trusting completely in Jesus, that we reach this sort of height where we experience all that God wants us to experience, life as it is designed to be experienced, that even in the midst of a broken world where there are certainly things that we look at and go, it's not the way it's supposed to be, but that's when we sort of tempted to look down. Now, people who are scared of heights will tell you one way they cope with a moment which they are at a high elevation is they don't look down. Because if you look down, it's over. I mean, your panic sets in, right? That's what faith is like. Don't look down. That if we keep our eyes on Jesus, He will carry us to the heights. You can have this kind of faith. This kind of faith is not limited to the religious elites or to the professionals or to those who do the most for God. This is the kind of faith that comes only through complete abandonment of our will and complete trust in Jesus. Complete trust in Jesus. That's how you can change. You want to know how God can renovate your life? By completely abandoning yourself to Him. I want to ask you these two questions as we close. These are questions that cut to the heart of who we are and who Jesus is. Do you believe that Jesus is who He says He is? And do you believe that He can do what He says He can do? And if the answer to that question is no, like, but you have that desire, ask Him. Help me. Help me, God. Help me to get to that place. Help me to stay in the chair. If the answer to that question is yes, then you live for Him. Abandon to Him. Let's pray. Father, we ask that You would just come near to us. Lord, give us faith. Help us understand that this is not something we earn or acquire on our own efforts or talents or abilities, God, but this is something that You have made a way for. Lord, it is a challenge to have this kind of faith in a world that does not acknowledge You. That is exactly the kind of world in which You sent Jesus into. So give us wisdom, Lord, to seek faith, to abandon our will to Yours. Lord, for no matter where we're at today, where we're at on our spiritual journey, that we would today seek to take one step closer to You. one step closer to you today. And we need your help. We need your help in that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you have enjoyed this message and pray God's blessing upon you. Remember to follow us on social media at Legacy Church GA or visit lcga.info to learn more.